Kate was born in New England, the youngest child in a large family. She was raised in the church, but she followed the usual path of many young people, young adults, when they go to college and graduate school, and chose to sleep in or do other things on Sunday mornings. Kate became a nurse, and she was passionate about being an advocate for and a healing partner with her patients. Along the way, she met a man who practiced emergency room medicine. Kate and Will married, and they were delighted over the years to welcome children into their life. Then Will was in an accident. He was in tremendous pain, but the prognosis was good. Everyone thought that he would be able to recover and return to his medical practice. Will completed a prescription he'd been given for pain medication, and he did go back to work. Kate and the children were active in the life of the parish they now belong to, and Kate was very involved with all that was going on in the schools that her children attended. All was well. But something was amiss. Kate knew that actually all was not well with Will. She realized with dismay that Will had secretly been acquiring the same medication he'd been prescribed for pain, and he had become addicted. She confronted him about his addiction. They argued and fussed and argued and fussed and argued and fussed. Will tried to quit on his own, but he could not. Kate was angry and scared, resentful. She felt powerless and she felt full of despair. She wanted to leave, but she had children that she believed needed both of their parents. Kate began to seek companions to hold this suffering with her. A weekly church group, a counselor, Al-Anon. Years went by. There was still no recovery for Will. Kate continued to suffer, living life with a spouse who was actively using. Yet, Kate was going ever deeper in her relationship with God. She was now knowing Jesus as the friend in her life, the one she wanted to follow. She had a steady, intentional prayer life. She was a strong, healthy mother and father to all of their children. And then, finally, came a day when Will's heart and eyes were opened. He saw that he needed help and he wanted to be in recovery. He entered into a 12-step program. In time, he became a sponsor also. As he was recovering, Will was able to begin reconnecting, re-engaging with Kate and with their children. Kate was overjoyed by the gift of this healing in their family. For some time, the family savored this new life they'd been given. Kate was clear that all of the healing companions she'd been given and every step along the way had been given by God. She was deeply grateful. Throughout these long years, Kate had been engaged in a teaching and a pastoral ministry in her church. Now she felt a nudge to move in a new direction. A new acquaintance of hers was involved in a ministry with the homeless in the downtown of their city. Kate couldn't explain why, but she felt drawn to go see where her new friend was spending her time and her energy. She was surprised to discover she felt at home the very first time she ventured downtown. She began to go regularly, volunteering to tend to various tasks of the ministry. Kate felt especially drawn to the folks who struggled with addiction. Her training as a nurse and her years of working with the 12 steps in Al-Anon, her journey of despairing for healing for her spouse, and the miraculous gift of recovery prepared her for this moment. Kate began an AA meeting at the ministry. No one had approached her to ask her if she would do this. She had not convened an AA group before. But she was hearing so strongly and clearly the calling to form and to guide this group. At first, there were about a half dozen people meeting in the small room downtown connected with this ministry. Word spread among the unhoused. More people showed up, about a dozen now. She asked another person to join her in offering the meeting. Soon, Kate and her companion were able to offer the AA meeting more than once a week. Another day was added, and then a third. One of the attendees of the meeting received a one-month chip for a month in recovery. And then another person received a chip. And then another. Healing was sprouting and growing in the little community. Sadly, people in leadership in her denomination became scared. They looked at this ministry and saw potential lawsuits. Kate was taken aback. When the leaders of her denomination told her she must stop offering the AA meetings, she was so disheartened and puzzled. They said some mean and disparaging things about her. Where had all of this come from? It was so hurtful. Now what? Kate had been involved in this recovery ministry in and around driving carpools and going to her children's sports and other events at school. Again and again, she had heard the call to leave her very nice, comfortable home and to go downtown to share life with those on the margins. Was it time to stop? Was way closing, as the Quakers say? Kate prayed and listened. And she heard deep within the call of God to continue this ministry. She heard Jesus calling her to follow him, to be with the unhoused of her city. And so she knocked on some new doors. Another church in another denomination flung wide its doors. Kate and her co-convener spread the word to the folks who had been attending the meeting. The men and women found their way to the new space. And then the meeting grew from about a dozen to two or three dozen. Some attendees were now earning chips for a year in recovery, and 2 years, and 3 years. And now the meeting had grown to 70 people. And more men and women were collecting chips to celebrate many years of sobriety. Now there's a regular Bible study offered too, and a medical clinic. And Kate now regularly teaches prayer practices. And a couple times a year takes a few folks to a nearby retreat center to have a retreat weekend. Last I heard, there are now about 100 people who come every day, Monday through Friday. Who is the suffering servant of God described by the prophet Isaiah? What does it look like to live as the servant of God? To deny oneself and take up your cross to follow Jesus. I can think of so many people we call saints who fit this description. You probably know the names and stories of many of these well-known followers of Jesus. Saint Bede, Julian of Norwich, Hildegard, whose feast we celebrate tomorrow, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, Martin Luther King Jr. I could go on and on. There are countless, countless lovers and followers of Jesus. But even more, I think of Kate and her life's journey. All the moments of learning and struggle that gave her inner resources for the work she is doing now, for the calling she is living now. All the time she has said yes to seeking and blessing the face of Christ in the face of the unhoused and the addicted. I wonder about your journey with God. I wonder when you have followed Jesus to be with people you never imagined you would meet. I see and hear that you are God's servant. I see and hear you following Jesus into healing, restorative relationships. This is how God heals the brokenness of the world, in and through you.